And this is a challenge for me because I'm going to do a lot of possibly history. And one of the gentlemen that I'm going to mention today is Phillips Brooks. Who knows who that is? Come on, there's a building named after him at Harvard. Of course, I've never been near Harvard, so not any, only New York City in that area. And we were just there for a little bit. Phillips Brooks is one of the names, but we do want to be mindful of history, but I just also want this to touch your heart. I toyed with the idea of doing a video about Bethlehem, but I couldn't get it to work the way that I wanted to, and so it's all me telling you about it. Born in Bethlehem and reign in Jerusalem forever. Now, before I start, last week we had several that wanted to share, and today I'm going to open the opportunity. Do you have anything you want to share, testimony, anything at all? Anyone else want to share? I'm turning my phone volume down. I forgot. I rarely get a call, but who knows? And anyone else want to share? Brother Kevin?
My mother had hip surgery, replacement surgery, and prior to the surgery, she was experiencing some problems with her blood pressure and her heart rate. And they actually canceled the first scheduled surgery and did it 2 days later. But so the surgery was very successful, and she's recovering well. So
praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Sister Watson?
I want to thank God that I can still get up and get around and take care of myself mostly. I do have to have help, but God has provided a great helper, and I'm so thankful for it. And the doctor told me just the other day, you're doing great for the shake you're in. I don't like to shake on me, but God's still in control, and he can change me.
It's good to be doing great, though. Brother Arton, you have a...
Yesterday, on my way to urgent care, I asked the driver if he knew Jesus. And he turned out to be a converted Hindu.
Oh, wow. Amen. Amen. Anyone else want to share? Well, next week we'll get shared. Tell me the story of Jesus and you'll be blessed. I guarantee you that. This past week, we had the memorial, the funeral for George H.W. Bush, and it seemed like everything went pretty well. I was impressed with the train. I don't know why, but I like trains. And they did a train especially for this President Bush and 4141 and sent it on to College Station, Texas, where he was buried. And I thought, wow, that's quite a deal to have your own train. And they said they may put it in his library. That would be quite amazing. I've seen the library for Lyndon Johnson when we lived in Texas, and it was not much really, but it was a nice ranch that he had, very low key, not real fancy, but they had his limousine that run him around while he was president there in that garage, and I thought that's pretty special. And I know that in Reagan's they have a plane, so thank the Lord for a country that remembers the leaders. And hopefully that'll continue on. We also remembered Pearl Harbor Day the 7th on Friday, and a day that Franklin Roosevelt said will live in infamy. And so we remember, we appreciate those who suffered and died, and the beginning of getting a nation awakened for freedom. And we fought, we won, and we ought to celebrate our freedom. Amen. So let's get to the message in the book of Micah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And the message again is somewhat the history of both Bethlehem and a little bit of Jerusalem. But in the book of Micah, chapter 4, now listen. Now listen, I don't mean to be mean by that, but to emphasize what the church is looking for right now. I heard it on the Schweigert station this morning. They said that God's getting ready for a great big harvest because he's going to come back and rapture the church. So the church is raptured soon and very soon. We don't know when. We need only to be ready. When the church is raptured, it begins the tribulation. A time of Jacob's sorrow, 7 years, 3.5 reasonable, the next 3.5, the great tribulation, where Israel is going to be mistreated more than any time in the world history. At the end of that is the Battle of Armageddon. And at the Battle of Armageddon, Antichrist is going to nearly destroy Israel. But Jesus is going to intercede. And Jesus is going to destroy the works of the devil and the Antichrist. And that is the Battle of Armageddon, and Jesus will be victor. And Israel will for the first time turn to Christ as their Messiah. They'll realize who the Messiah has been all along. No doubt a lot of guilt, but there'll be a lot of rejoicing that they found their Messiah. It's the Messiah that we serve today. After that, there's going to be headquarters set up in Jerusalem, and every nation will look to Jerusalem for leadership, and Jesus will be that leader for 1,000 years. After that, there's a battle of Gog and Magog. The scripture says that Satan will be loose for a season, and guess what? He'll gather together a bunch of people that will fall for anything, and especially his lies after Jesus has led this world for 1,000 years. Hard to believe, but it will be true. The scripture says that during that millennial, if someone dies at 100, it'll be like an infant passing away. So it's still life and death, but it's quite a bit better than it is today. After the devil's rebellion, the Battle of Gog and Magog, the devil is done. Jesus will pull everything up from the earth, renovate the earth with fire, and then Jerusalem, holy city, will set down where Jerusalem is now, right on the heart of that place. And that begins the beginning of the perfect age, which has no end. So I want you to understand that what began in Bethlehem is going to end in Jerusalem, and it's going to be forever. So chapter 4 of the book of Micah, the first 8 verses, is the millennial restoration. And this was foretold 2,700 years ago, and it hasn't started yet. We're still at least 7 years away from that. Verses 9 and 10 goes into the Babylonian captivity, which happened 120 years after Micah prophesied it. So you see, he's going from way future back into the near future. And then verses 11 through 13 is the Battle of Armageddon. And that goes, again, to the future, but not quite to the millennial restoration. So in chapter 5, verse 1 deals with the siege of Jerusalem in AD 70. And verse 2 deals with the birth of Christ. So it kind of plays mind games with our timing, but let's read there verse 5. Micah 5, 1. Now gather your troops, gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. I will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek, the coming Messiah. This talks about, now, there, it seems like that God took it personally when the soldiers and the different ones slapped Jesus on the face, when they plucked his beard. It seems like that beyond the stripes were one thing on his back, but oh my goodness, you hit him in the face. And God brought a judgment against Jerusalem that was horrific, horrific. Let's pray, because I want to get into some other things. Lord, touch this message. Touch it, Lord, to really touch us. If we cannot bring encouragement of hope and faith in you, then we fail. Lord, it's not that we want to be anything controversial, but rather uplifting to your holy name. Help us that, Lord. Help us with that goal. Bring blessing and strength. Lord, that when we walk out today, that we feel confident that our God that started this plan before the foundation of the earth, executed it perfectly, and will continue until the end of time, till time is no more. Thank you, Lord, for your word, your eternal word, and we honor you. Amen. And so, we start with Jerusalem, and in Luke chapter 19, verse 41 through 44, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. You know the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Jesus wept this time over Jerusalem. If you had known, even you especially in your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Scripture tells you and I to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's our job. Even as Christians, we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jesus said if you'd really understood what really brings you peace, you could have grasped and held on to it, and it would have been forever. But it was hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment surround you, and close you in on every side and level you. And your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Titus had a father that was a great military leader. He's the Roman general that destroyed Jerusalem. His father said, don't touch the temple. Leave it alone. But Titus was not liked and appreciated by his men, and he thought, well, I'll do something that'll get their attention. There was a rumor that in between the stones that built the walls and the temple was gold, that the mortar was gold. And if you tear it down, you'll see that. And they tore every stone down and fulfilled the prophecy of Jesus because they were looking for gold. And it was wrong. It was a lie. They found no gold, but they did destroy the temple. And this was a vicious man that killed over 1 million Jewish people. Many of them were crucified on a cross because he was so vicious. Now, this happened in Jerusalem in 70 AD. In verse 2, it says, but you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands in Jerusalem. What he was talking about was, you know, you're so small, you can't even make up a troop, which would be 1,000. You're so small, you just have a few hundred people. Small place, small amongst the rest of Judah. Yet out of you shall come forth to me one to be ruler in Israel. Ruler in Israel. And he would be ruling in Jerusalem. Jerusalem and Bethlehem are just separated by 5 miles. And it's an easier journey than some of the others. The road to Jericho was supposed to be very, very difficult, and not without danger, no doubt, but it was a short distance. And it said, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Now I'm going to tell you what I see in that. What I see in that is Jesus was incarnate into a human form as God miraculously impregnated Mary. But before that, he is everlasting. After his resurrection and ascension, he is everlasting. He has no beginning, he has no end. From his going forth from old or from everlasting. I want us to see Bethlehem as a very small and in many ways insignificant, even though King David was born there. But God having a plan that has his son being born in Bethlehem, in the city of David, because God made a promise to David. He said, you'll sit on the throne of Israel forever. Your lineage. Now the lineage of David went down a few hundred years, but at a point when the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem, there were no more kings. I've told you that the commentary says that Joseph would have been the king had that lineage continued, but because of sin and unbelief, there was no king of Israel at this time. They were ruled by Herod, and they were ruled by the Caesars under the Roman government. But God chose Bethlehem to fulfill a promise to David. God chose Bethlehem to fulfill a promise to Judah back in Genesis, where it said the lawgiver will not depart from this tribe. God had a plan before the foundation of the earth, because God knew the humanity that we all have, and he understood failure was within our grasp. God told Adam, don't touch the tree. And yet God knew that Adam was a free will. There was a good chance he was going to touch the tree and do what he was told not to do. But God had a plan. And the plan was to send his son, not to Jerusalem, which was really the capital of everything. Do you realize that just This last year, President Trump made and recognized Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel. You say, well, why are you bringing politics in it? Not politics, because every president for the last several I've seen on camera saying this is what we should do. But none of them did it. Why? Because there's going to be kickback. You've got the Arabs and you've got others that are going to be upset with it. Let them get over it. Because if God recognizes Jerusalem as the holy and capital city, then we're right. The United States is right. So we have an embassy and or one being built right now because we recognize that Jerusalem is the capital city. Let me kind of kick back. I'll be like Micah, back and forth. Christ is born of Mary in the book of Luke chapter 2, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with his betrothed wife who was with child. Now, I'm not going to read where Jesus was born. That'll come in a couple of weeks. We're going to get him here in a couple of weeks. We've read around it and perhaps even mentioned it. But I want us to understand that God had a special place for his son to be born. I think the plan of God to have his son born and not just pop out of the air was amazing. Was amazing because Jesus shared our humanity. We have a high priest who knows what we feel. You say, I've got a headache. Jesus had headaches. You say, I'm tired from walking a long distance. Jesus knew what that was like. I do believe he had more energy than probably his disciples. I think he was in perfect physical condition. He didn't have sin to contend with. But still, Jesus knows what it's like to live on this earth. And when we call on him, he understands the temptation as the devil tempted him directly. The devil just throws things in our minds. Sometimes that's enough. But we have the power of the Lord to say no to Satan. We don't have to accept your suggestions. We will serve the Lord. But Bethlehem, I'm going to come back to Bethlehem in just a little bit and show one more thing of Bethlehem. I had a friend years ago, the first client that I had that I built a house for, and he went to Jerusalem, sent me a picture of the Wailing Wall, and he sent me a photo of him standing there, and I think that's amazing. That's a wonderful gift. And then he said, I went to Bethlehem. He said, but Jim, there was guards everywhere with guns. He said, it didn't take me long to where I said, you know what? I don't want to go much further. I want to get out of here because it's under Muslim control. It's not the same as it was these many years ago. We're going to change gears again, Revelation chapter 20, and we'll read Revelation chapter 21 in just a minute. Chapter 20. I'm conflicted, but I'm going to read verses 4 through 6. I was going to try to narrow that down, but I want to make sure we've got the right context. And he said, I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and the judgment was committed to them. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands during the tribulation. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is where we get the word millennium from. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. These are the unrighteous. They will be judged at the great white throne judgment. This is the first resurrection. The first resurrection is every saint that lived until the time of rapture, and including those during the tribulation that were beheaded. There's possibly others during the tribulation that would be included, but we don't see that clear enough to make it an absolute. The first resurrection, blessed and holy, is he who has part in the first resurrection. The ones that we've just mentioned, over such a second death hath no power. The second death will be the judgment of those who fail to accept Christ. You say, don't everyone get a chance after somewhere down the line and they get another chance? No. Our chance is now. Now. But they, this is going back to all of us, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ. Priests, are we going to offer sacrifices? No. We're going to deal with people. We're going to be minister. We're going to execute the law of God. But they will be priests and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Can I tell you that this is just a drop in the bucket? Because after the battle of Gog and Magog and we begin eternity, we're going to live and reign with Christ forever. You know what the significance is to me of this? We praise the Lord today, and we felt the Spirit of God. However, every day we're going to praise the Lord for eternity. Every minute, every hour, we're going to praise the Lord. If you feel something now, magnify that by 10,000 times. Oh, the glory of His presence. Oh, the glory of His power. Oh, the rejoicing that we will do because we know Christ. I'm going to finish the scripture with this. Revelation 21. I've read this several times lately, but I'm reading it one more time, and no doubt many more times. Verses 1 through 3, I believe. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, I like this. There's a song about this. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. There's an old song that says, friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet reunion. Jesus is a friend of mine. How many's ever heard of Phillips Brooks? I mentioned him at the beginning. You say, well, I don't know who he is. That's all right, but you've heard his name. Phillips Brooks, on December the 24th, 1865, took a ride that would change his life, even though he was only 30 years old, forever. Phillips Brooks started at a very young age, late teens, early 20s, teaching Latin. How many knows Latin? These guys get taught that in their Christian school, Latin. When it came to learning language, I chose French, which I've forgotten most of, but parlez-vous français? I had a guy speaking to me in a church meeting, and I didn't get anything but hi. That's all I could get. But Latin is a different thing. And Latin's a very complicated language. And Phillips Brooks didn't do so well teaching Latin. He just couldn't get it across. So he began to pray and seek the Lord for his mission on earth. How many's ever done that? I've done that 100 times. Well, Lord, now I see what do you want me to do next? I mean, I run into a dead end here or there. He ran into a dead end. Very, very intelligent young man, though. And he began to study, went to, I guess, Bible school, and began to pastor and preach. And he was quite good. Matter of fact, after 6 years of preaching, he did Abraham Lincoln's funeral. So that's a pretty amazing thing to be able to accomplish that. And we saw this past week there were probably, I don't know, maybe 10 or more ministers that had a part of President Bush's funeral. And it was all done, again, like I said, very, very well. A very good spirit from a man that counted faith as a very important part of his life and family. But Phillips Brooks, after such a great start, and he pastored the Holy Trinity Church in Philadelphia, he was like the Billy Graham of his day. I mean, he was. Let's face it, there's a lot of preachers today. But when you hear the name Billy Graham, you say, oh yeah. Billy Graham, bless his heart, kept his nose clean and preached a simple gospel message. And that means so very much. And he was not only the pastor of the presidents, but really the pastor of America. And I like his son Franklin, but he's no Billy. He's Franklin. And he does good and great works, and I'm thankful for him. But Billy Graham stands out, and so did Phillips Brooks. Why did they give him two last names? I don't know. Phillips with an S, Brooks. But anyway, he was a superstar. When he got to the church in Philadelphia, he had 30 kids in Sunday school. He went and hired a real estate super salesman. Boy, you think about super salesmen real estate, this valley's full of them. When they sell a house, they make $130,000 or something like that. It's amazing. Some of them make a little more, maybe some a little bit less. But here he is, he's a pastor of a church, and he hires this guy to be the Sunday school superintendent. And he's the organist as well. His name is Lewis Redner. Within a year, they built the Sunday school to over 1,000. They had a big Wednesday night service as well. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And this young pastor was ministering during the Civil War. The Civil War took a lot out of people. Some of us have lived through a war, and you know how it is. I lived, when I was younger, through the Civil, or the Civil, no, I lived through the Vietnam War. Every day on the news, they were showing battles and trouble that was happening in Vietnam. I don't remember much of it, but I do remember this. We were having battles in Vietnam and battles at almost every college in America. They were tearing things up. One gentleman said to President, or I think then Governor Reagan, that these kids have reasonable gripes and they've got to be heard. President Reagan said these kids own absolutely nothing. Said their parents are putting them through school and they don't own the college, the taxpayers do, and they need to stop tearing it up. And anybody that's taking advice from these kids that know nothing is wasting their time. That was Reagan's take on it, and I thought pretty reasonable. But a civil war, that means we're fighting us. That means every Sunday there'd be a new lady with black on because her husband had been killed. Or there's another soldier come home from the war and he was crippled up because of the wounds that he sustained in the war. The whole spirit of America was hopeless and dark. And this young man doing everything he could to bring back a great message of inspiration, and it really wore him down. Then after the funeral that he did for Abraham Lincoln, it just seemed like Lincoln was trying to lead the country in the right way, and he was murdered for it. So there was a lot of trouble, and he got really down and discouraged, and he took a sabbatical to the Holy Land in 1865. And here he was in Jerusalem on Christmas Eve. Isn't that pretty amazing? In 1865. Must have been a neat trip. The holy city of Jerusalem. And then something came over him and he borrowed a horse. And he rode from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And he was warned, hey, that's trouble out there. You could run into some thieves. You could run into some critters. It's not a slam dunk. In other words, there wasn't a freeway that connected and a nice rental car with a Jeep or an Audi or something like that. He was on a horse back and he went on into Bethlehem. And as he got close, he looked down over the little city. And he said that something began to bubble in his heart and in his life. He went down into the city amongst the market. And he said there was a lot of activity in this little town because it was Christmas Eve, because they were celebrating Jesus being born in that city 1865 years or so ago. There was markets, there were lights, there were a lot of things happening. He went in just as it was getting dark and the stars began to come out. And the atmosphere in the place was one of restoration and healing to his discouraged life. And begin to minister to him. He said that the experience of being there provided a singing in my soul. I tell you, singing is important. Song is important. And he said, I felt like something had returned and a new energy and a new strength. So after this experience, he went back to his church, continued his successful ministry, and again, he has a building named after him in Harvard, unless they've changed it in the last few years. Trying to capture the experience, he wrote a poem. He wrote a poem that is O Little Town of Bethlehem. He showed the poem to Lewis Radner, his organist and super salesman, Sunday school superintendent. And he said, I think that should be put to music. And he worked on it and worked on it up until the middle of the night, and he gave up. He said, I'm a failure. I can't find the music. So I went to bed, and just like a lot of times, the Lord woke him up with the perfect tune. And so when you sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem, you have the works of Phillips Brooks that really has lots of sermons that would surprise and bless people. He was a theologian of a great height, and yet what he's known for is this song that we sing every year at Christmas. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. From the mountain he saw. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars together, proclaim the holy birth and praises sing to God the King and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born to us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Beautiful song, divinely inspired. And what picked this man up from a very discouraging place and caused him to go back to his church re-energized with the power of God's hope and spirit. Folks, it doesn't matter how dark it gets out there in the world. We don't have anything like a civil war right now. We have a lot of disagreement and arguments with politicians and with groups of people, but it doesn't matter what we're living in. Jesus has the answer, and the answer is Jesus. Like this song says, that we need to cast out our sin and enter in and be born to us today. Jesus wants to be our life. And when he is, how glorious it is. I wish that we could give the gift of Christ to every human being on earth. But again, it's up to those human beings to accept Jesus Christ. Debbie, would you come to the piano? I would like us to come forward, everyone that's able. And if you're not, we're going to come to you and pray. But if you're able, come into the front. And let's join our hearts in submission and prayer and realize that we're on an eternal journey. And it's going to move. We're in Campbell, California today. We're going to rule and reign from the headquarters of Jerusalem forever, forever, forever. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you so much for gathering together. I would like us to blend our hearts, to join together, and to say, Lord, thank you for Bethlehem. Thank you for the greatest gift the world's received, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love and your sacrifice. Holy Jesus, let's pray together. Holy Jesus, we honor you today. Thank you for the plan and for the execution of that plan perfectly. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to the earth. You came down. You were born. You gave up your glory to suffer and to walk upon this earth and to live your life perfectly before the Father. You gave everything on the cross. Love grew where your blood fell and was shed. Lord, you ascended back to God, making intercession for us. So when we call on your name, we say, Jesus, help me. You're there to minister help and strength. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Lord, let your healing power fall now. Your restoration spirit come now. Minister to us all. Minister to us all as we surrender our lives, as we join our faith and our prayers, as we consider one another. Minister, O Lord. Minister, O Lord. Directly to your people with that touch of love and power. Let us know that demonstration of your power, of the moving of your Holy Spirit. The sweet, gentle breeze of the Spirit or the mighty rushing wind. But minister today. Help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us to reach out to others and to offer what you've given to us. No one owns a franchise of you completely. We're all individuals that's been given grace. And we can share our gift, share our experience, and reach out to others that those who are lost can know you by saying yes to you, believing in everything that you stood for, your sacrifice, your resurrection, your birth. And Lord, can ask you to forgive us of sin, and we become part of the family, part of the glory. I pray your blessing right now. Anoint us to share. Anoint us to reach out. Anoint us to help people. In this season of giving, let us give. Help us to give. Bless us to be able to give and to share our faith and share our joy in you. In Jesus' name. Anyone like prayer today? If you would like prayer for anything, Brother Arden, we'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Jesus, touch Brother Arden. I pray, God, mercy, mercy, mercy. Lord, give him a miracle of your help. Many miracles. You see what he needs in his body, and you see the encouragement and the hope he needs in his mind, oh God. Kalamasandai. Renew his spirit right now. Lord, bless him. Heal him. Restore in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for Sister Watson. Lord, touch Sister Watson. Give her strength. She needs a miracle. Lord, she needs a miracle. And this issue that messes with her blood pressure. Marakasiki tiatara makandalania. Kalamakura masanda. Heal in Jesus' name. Holy God, Lord, touch Henry. Give him your strength every day. Every day, strengthen every step. Strengthen his back and Lord, his whole body. Mercy, your strength, your power. Be with Henry, Lord. Let him feel your presence. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. A baby born in Bethlehem grew up to be a Savior and a Lord and a healer. And our faith in him. You say, what does it mean to have faith that he was born in Bethlehem? It's part of the whole package, and it helps us to at Christmas time remember, just as we remember at the time of our communion. It helps us to remember. Jesus said, remember, don't forget me, don't forget me, don't forget what I did, don't forget what I offer you, don't forget what I've given you. Anyone else like prayer? We don't want to miss anyone.
My hip flexor muscle still hurts.
Jesus, I pray that you'll touch Audrey. That you'll heal this hip, Lord. Your mercy. Lord, you created us. And you died on the cross. Suffered all, Lord, that we might be healed. In Jesus' name. For your glory. For your glory. Amen, amen. For the glory of God, he heals, but boy, it sure benefits us, doesn't it? Thank God for getting over hurt and pain. Anyone else? Then one more time, I'm sorry. You like prayer, brother? Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you'll touch Don. Lord, the power of your Holy Spirit, Jesus, move in his body right now. Oh, Lord God, we know you died for it, and the Holy Spirit reaches out and brings that healing to our bodies. Yatala, my son, thy strength in every part of Don's body, Lord. Your mercy and your healing grace. Shukori, yatala, my son. We pray in the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Halalala makiriya nalidiya. Holy Jesus. He is the Lord that healeth us. Amen. Let's pray one more prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we're thankful for your presence here today. Go with each one. We've got a week ahead of us. We pray, Lord, that you'll be a part of every day, that you'll minister to us every step. Lord, that you'll give us help. Those that we have family that needs your healing power, your saving power, we just lift them up before you right now. And we pray, Lord, that we see saved, that we see souls saved, people healed, deliverance in the lives of those who are bound. Lord, during this season, we rejoice, but there are many that have such great depression. And I pray that you will come in to their lives and break up that depression, that all may see the light of who you are. We pray in Jesus' name for the glory of Jesus and the mercy of our Father God. Amen. God bless you.